Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Southern California, Huntington Beach. It's great weather. It's warm weather. It's wonderful all the time. Recently, it has been, it's been okay, fair weather, but about 3-4 weeks ago, there was a storm that came in. It was a pretty significant one. Anybody remember that? It was heavy amounts of rain, heavy amounts of water. Well, me and my wife and my kids, we got in our car and we thought, you know what would be really cool is to go up to the mountains and put ourselves in the middle of the storm, grab a cabin up there and time it in such a way that we're going to head into the cabin. We're going to hang out in the cabin while the storm is happening. Because I don't know about you guys, but if you've ever been in a place where the weather is incredible outside, it is snowing, it's raining, it's like, you know, hurricane, whatever, but you're safe indoors and you're, you know, together, it's actually a really sweet time as a family. It's one of the things that we miss actually from living in more of a natural environment is how the natural elements that when they come in, they kind of shut you down as busy as what we can be, and they just make you focus on each other. So we put ourselves in the middle of the storm to kind of sit and to focus and be with each other. We went to the grocery store beforehand. We got a whole bunch of like microwave junk food, you know, stuff that's totally not healthy for our kids. But then for the next about 48 hours, it was just an incredible storm that snowed and snowed. We ended up waking up the next morning and there was about 2.5 feet of snow on the outside. And me and my children got up and we walked out onto the snow-covered field and walked through the snow and we're looking everywhere. And in the middle of the place that we were at, there's this giant oak tree. And this giant oak tree had limbs that were like hanging down almost to the ground because there was so much snow and water on them. And you see what happens is that in a storm, it starts off by raining and hailing. The branches of a tree get soaked. And then after it gets soaked, then the snow starts to come in and the temperature drops. Well, all of that water that's saturated on that tree, it freezes and then it gets heavy and it pulls on that tree. Well, the younger trees, the ones that have, you know, maybe they're only about 30 years old, 40 years old. What's common is that those trees, they droop really, really, really low, right? But they're springy and they spring back up. The sun comes along, it melts all the snow, and everything springs back up and they're vibrant and wonderful again. But then the older trees, is that the older trees have that happen to them. It snows, the rain saturates them. And then what you hear, and something you have to be really careful of, is you go outside and you start hearing this pop, pop, crack, pop. And then all of a sudden there's branches and things that fall from the older trees. And you look at these older trees and you look at just, you know, what they are during these storms, and you're seeing like, wow, there's a whole bunch of broken branches on those trees everywhere. It's just kind of old and it's tilted weird and it has these funky growths on each side. But the trunk of it is incredibly solid. It's not as springy anymore, but this thing has lasted and has gone through storm after storm after storm after storm. And it is like it has gotten beaten and beaten, beaten down. And this tree, and the older trees, and this tree that we were looking at, was incredibly strong. And I think about that with Scripture, and I think how often in Scripture, the tree is used as a metaphor for the soul of man, for the internal being of who a man is. Tonight, as we look at Scripture, we're going to be going through Acts chapter 14, and there's a phrase in Scripture tonight that I think is so important for us to hold on to and take away at the end. And that phrase is this, is the strengthening of the soul, strengthening the soul. So we're going to be talking about that tonight as we look at Acts chapter 14. All right, so go ahead and flip over to Acts chapter 14. Going back, we're going to be in Acts 14, verses 21 through 28. Going back to the beginning of Acts chapter 14, just want to kind of help us get our bearings tonight. If you would like a map for tonight, because we're going to be mentioning a lot of little cities, there's a few maps on this small table over here, and there's a few maps over on that table over there, and so you can grab a couple of the maps if you want to look at these cities, just to have a visual as to what you're actually looking at, because I think we mentioned about 9 cities tonight. So going back to the beginning of Acts chapter 14, what we have is that we have Paul and Barnabas, is that they're going around and they're sharing the good news of Jesus, and they're sharing it in a town called Iconium. Well, on their way, or when they're sharing it, they come across a crippled man. They heal this crippled man. This is beginning going through Acts 14. And they heal this man. And the people of that town, they look at them and they think, wow, these must be Greek gods who have come down in human form. And they call them, they say, it's Zeus and it's Hermes, Paul and Barnabas. It's Zeus and Hermes. Those are the gods. They've come down to our town here. Well, as they've done that, the people of that town, is that they would worship Zeus and they would worship Hermes, and it was common at that time that they would tell legends and tales about how gods, ancient Greek gods, actually would come down in human form and judge the people. So they were kind of worried about who these two men were, and that judgment was going to be cast down upon them. So the priest of where they were at then went and got an ox and started to say, let's make a sacrifice to Zeus because of what these men, who these men are. We need to sacrifice to him to make sure that he doesn't destroy us. And as he is going and he is taking that ox, bringing that ox in, Paul and Barnabas run to them, rip their clothes, and say, what are you doing? We come to you and we are preaching the good news. This is just a quick summation of right before where we're at in verse 21 tonight. See, Paul and Barnabas are preaching the good news of who Jesus is to a completely pagan town filled with Jews and Gentiles. And they are telling them, it is the God, the true God, the invisible God, the God that you have to worship. You don't have to worship, or you don't have to do these things anymore where you are worshiping these pagan gods. So they rip their clothes and they say, what are you doing? We just shared with you the good news of who Jesus is. And they say, well, let's go ahead and let's sacrifice some ox to Zeus. Well, they tell them and rip their clothes that they shouldn't be doing that. And we start in Acts chapter 14, our passage for tonight, Acts 14, verse 21 through 28. Says this. And then after that, this is after Paul was persecuted by those people, he got up the next day to continue preaching, even though he was persecuted by the people who first thought that he was Zeus, said this. And then they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples. They return to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in faith, in saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So this is what Paul and Barnabas are doing. They're going around and they are making disciples on those cities that you see there. I kind of did that map in a way so it's gray, and you can see the light coming off of the different cities that they were bringing the light to, the light of the knowledge of God to these different cities, reminding people or telling people, this is who God is. He is not this pagan God or these pagan gods that you worship. All of you are wondering who God is. We're going to tell you about who the true God is, made known to us in the face of Jesus Christ, give them the full knowledge in the gospel. And then as they go through those towns, they're met with a little bit of persecution, and on their way back, they go back through those towns, and they start strengthening the souls of all of those that they had preached the gospel to previously. And I think about this phrase of, what does it mean to strengthen the soul of a believer? And what were they doing? You see, Paul, he just went through this situation where he was stoned and he was being persecuted by the Jews. and by all the people. And they had stoned him to the point that they actually thought he was dead, but all the disciples that they had made had gathered around Paul, and then the next day he woke up and he continued to preach the gospel. Paul had just gone through an incredibly difficult time. And as he went through an incredibly difficult time, understood the truth of what he was doing, he got up and he started to strengthen others. And thinking about that is that for those of you who have walked through life making disciples, preaching the good news of who Jesus is to others, and you have faced some storms, some battles, some trials, I look at this scripture as a great reminder to tell us, well, what is our job? What is our job for those that have walked through trial and have been strengthened, that have faced the storms as Paul has faced? Well, from a position of, we would say, life experience and or authority because of what we have experienced in life, it's our job to go back. To go back to the people that we have talked to. Go back to the people that we have maybe built relationships with over time. I was with a friend this weekend up in the mountains. And we were reminiscing, and it was interesting. And we were talking about our youth group from about 20 years ago. And we were talking about the youth group and the fond memories of the leaders that we had in our youth group from 20 years ago. And we had some amazing, amazing, amazing leaders of our youth group who really grounded us in a firm foundation of the knowledge of God's word and what it really meant, what the full true gospel is. Well, we were kind of reminiscing about that group that we had. And when you start coming to church and you start creating community and you start creating culture, you kind of start formulating, and we do this a lot. We do this in small groups, right? We start creating little small group communities, and we do this, we say this phrase, especially now. We like to do life together. That's what it's about, just doing life together. Well, most people won't do your entire life together. You'll have a season together with people. And those seasons are really sweet. But as time goes on, you can do some reflecting and some thinking back. And when you start to think about, well, where did this person end up? Where did that individual end up? Hey, remember that one friend that we had? How are they doing? And you start to reminisce. Well, we were doing some of that. And as we were going through the different friends in our mind and the people that we thought about growing up with who started up really well in the faith, there were a few names that we mentioned said, they're really struggling. They haven't stayed strengthened. Their soul is crushed, type of phrase, type of talking about them. Friends that you would weep for and that you cry for because you're like, we were so close, so strong. But the burdens, the storms of life, the things that have come in have crushed that person, and they're just not in a good place. They're not in a good state. This is one of the amazing things about what Paul was doing at this time. Paul had just gotten pretty severely persecuted for his belief and proclamation of the gospel, being stoned to the point that they believed, they dragged him out of the city, they thought he was dead. Paul understood something. He realized something. That though he himself, he's beaten down, he's battered, he's been knocked by a few rocks, by a few people. Imagine that, the strength of that man to go back and say, I'm going to go back and I'm going to strengthen the souls of other people by teaching them this. I'm going to teach them that they, just like what I have to endure much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. I wonder what that would have been looked like, what that would have looked like. This man walking in, probably beaten, bruised, battered, said, you guys, keep going. What an encouragement. What an encouragement. And for me and you, some of us may have some wounds on us and we're not perfect. Good news is nobody's perfect. That's the storm and the trial of life. That's the things that have come along, right? That's some of those broken branches, things that have snapped off from time to time. I didn't do that right. I really messed that up. I am so beaten up right now. I don't have a single word for anybody else. Sometimes it just takes you physically being there in your brokenness and say, just hold tight to Jesus. Because I've learned that it's the only thing that matters. And by that, doing exactly what Paul was doing. Strengthen the souls of others, even if they're new believers. I've seen a lot of men in ministry over time. They get older and you know, we see them as pretty popular, you know, they fall, that we would say they fall, or we can say that they fall from grace, or they fall from the pulpit, or they fall from their platform, or they fall from the position. And life is hard. There are external battles that happen to people, regular financial issues, physical health problems that take place, relational struggles between individuals. And there's those kind of trials that happen. But then, for us, where we're at, we're not necessarily like Paul. We're not being persecuted to the point that Paul was being persecuted. We may have some of those other struggles and trials that Scripture is very clear on. The other type of struggle and trial, and that's the internal struggle and trial. That for those of us that maybe have had your life isn't incredibly difficult, maybe you have a great family, maybe you got good moms and dads, you got good community around you, you have a good spouse, you got great children, everything's perfect and everything's wonderful. Well, and sometimes I bring up the pastoral situation because sometimes that's the image of many of the pastors and many people within leadership. You've designed your life to be a certain way. But then there's that internal persecution, we could say, from the enemy, that internal battle that's going on inside. Well, whether or not it's an external battle of things that have happened to you, or it's an internal battle where you're wrestling some of your own natures as you're working out your salvation, as the Spirit of God is working through you, and you're still working that out. It's been a period of time. It both requires the same thing, a strong soul, a strong soul. I text my wife as I was studying for this tonight, and thinking, yeah, I guess I could share a little bit about this. You know, it was about 2 years ago, probably went through one of the hardest times in my life. It was a time where different people go through these seasons at different times in their life. And it's a time of growing up. It's a time of reflecting. It's a time of pondering all the things that have happened to you in life. And it's a time where it's difficult because maybe you realize, well, life is hard. It's tough, right? You go through it at different stages, but sometimes there's moments in life where you really reflect and you're just like, wow, it's like an unending onslaught of just like a barrage of just constant fighting. And sometimes that's not the internal stuff. It's just the external. So I was reflecting upon my life. And I was telling my wife, from the time that I've been a kid, 6 years old, divorced family, really rough home life. I'll share with you, when I was 6 years old, I may have mentioned this before. I remember being pulled out of my car away from my mom by a sheriff to be placed into my father's car, right? Because a separation had taken place. Deep traumatic moment as a kid to be ripped from, at the time, what you thought to be just, you know, your nurturer, the one that you care for, being pulled, forcibly pulled. You can take those types of memories, which I did, and you're like, okay, I'll just put that one back there and I'm not going to think about it really again until you're like early 30s. And guess what? When it comes back, you're like, wow, that came back pretty strong. It was like I was there again. You know, you go on in life and you think about, well, there's those types of situations, right? And then there's relational situations, situations with family, maybe people who didn't treat you right at work. There's situations that you ignore for years and years and years and years. And then all of a sudden you go through this season in life and you're like, I have to come face to face with a few realities, with a few relational realities between me and other people. I have to actually face up to something. I have to recognize a certain nature of myself that I have been ignoring. And for Christians, we are very quick to say, Jesus forgives, Jesus heals, and we just move on with our life. But we don't actually practice the full purpose of confession. We confess our sins in the moment, but we really don't take a deep dive into the internal space and kind of look at that tree that is our soul and really look at all of the areas that the good news and the light of Jesus maybe needs to tackle some of that darkness, right? Well, I go through that time, and as I'm going through a really, really difficult time, it's my wife. Now, we've been married, it will be 14 years come May, and it's my wife. During this season and other seasons before, on the hard days of work, on the long days of work, on the difficult struggles and the difficult trials, but ultimately in a season that was really hard for me to walk through, to the point that I actually went and saw a counselor. And you guys know that's okay for pastors to get counseling, right? Like, that's totally okay. Pastors can get counseling. You can get counseling. You know what church is? Basically one gigantic counseling session to help remind us, like, hey, it's about the light of Jesus. It's not about you, you know. But we need to work through some of your struggles, right? We got to, right? That's okay, right? But it's my wife who's there every single night, who's there comforting, they're encouraging, they're strengthening, they're lifting up, right? It's my spouse. And so my wife is my soul strengthener. It's important that we have soul strengtheners in our lives. Now, not everybody is a spouse or your spouse that is your soul strengthener. Let's keep reading through Acts chapter 14, because I think there is kind of a cool connection. You can go many different ways with Acts chapter 14, verse 21 through 28. And I was like, well, I could either teach about church governance, or I can get down to maybe a little bit of a deeper purpose as to what they were doing. So here, I'll pick it up here in verse 23. Or I'll start with verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, endure to the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commanded them, or committed them to the Lord in whom they believed. And after they had passed through, let's make sure I say these right. I always have a struggle with some of these towns. It is Poseida and Pamphylia. Now, when they had preached in the word of Perga, they went down to Antalya, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commanded to the grace of God and for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Going through this passage really quick, what's going on here? They had appointed elders in all of the places, all of the churches that they had established disciples. They had won converts, but they didn't just keep it as a convert. They didn't just say, okay, well, we'll preach the good news and move on. Remember, he went back, and then he strengthened the soul, being Paul himself. I'm going to strengthen the soul. But then he established soul strengtheners. That's what an elder basically is. If you read in Peter, it would talk about how elders are meant to shepherd the flock of God, to shepherd a flock of people, to oversee a flock of people is to strengthen their souls, to spur them on in encouraging words, to say, keep going and remember the good news of Jesus and to watch over them. That's what an elder does, and that's what he's doing. He is establishing soul strengtheners. People, elders, ones who love the Lord, who study the Word, who walk in a way that is worthy of the Lord, those that can be trusted to shepherd a flock and a group of people. Now, this passage here is talking about the establishment of a church. But for me and you, the question and the thing we need to think about is, who is that soul strengthener in your life? Another way to think about it is, who is that elder? Who is that? And this is a very interesting thing to think about for our time, because many people have started to reject it a little bit here and there.
who is that pastoral, spiritual authority giver over you? A lot of people have kind of walked away from that. I know this because as a pastor, when I come along with a member of our congregation or people that I have talked with in the past, and I say, hey, I need to correct you, brother, or I need to correct you, sister, in the way that you're thinking. That sounds like a lot of bitterness and anger and rage, and you're not really seeking to understand, and you're gossiping, and you're causing division and all this. You know what people do? Hands up, and they walk away. They don't want that from pastors. They don't want pastors. People don't want pastors to correct and exhort, right, and bring training. What they want is they want encouragement. But that's not a soul strengthener, right? A soul strengthener is going to look into your internal being and say, hey, internal being, I see a few cracks in here. I see a few issues that we need to work on. Not out of guilt and shame, out of understanding and experience. You have to work on this area. And if you do not work on this area, the next time that this storm comes, your soul is going to completely crack and fall apart. That's what a soul strengthener does. That's what an elder does. It's important that all of us have those in our life and that we are willing to be open with each other about those areas, to have that spiritual authority over our lives, and we make sure that we meet and we gather together. For some of us, it's our small group in ways, but is there people within your small group that you respect spiritually to give them that type of authority over your life? It's been an incredibly important walk for me that I find older men who have walked through similar situations that I have, or men who have been in similar positions that I have been, good, godly men that will be there for me and say, you need to reconsider the way you think about this. And they've helped with relationship advice, they've helped with parenting advice, they've helped with work advice, and ultimately, they have helped strengthen my soul during that period of time when things just don't seem all that right. Now, I'm still a relatively young guy, and I know we're in kind of a mixed crowd here tonight, but I would tell you this, pain is pain, right? If you're going through pain and you're 45 years old or 50 years old or older, and you're having a broken heart because of something that's happened with your children, something that's happened with your spouse, something that's happening with a family member, or one of the most important rules in youth ministry is to understand that, you know, one of the thoughts is that teenager that's willing to take their life because of a broken relationship, right? Versus that older individual who has lost their family and their home and all of that, but they have a strengthened soul. That teenager that's willing to go all the way to that degree, you know, we have to pay attention to that. We can't just think, oh, well, they're just going through a broken, it's no big deal. It's just teenage drama, right? It's just silly drama. It's not that important. It's like, no, to that individual it is. And to you and to me, what you're going through, God cares about what you're going through. And if you're going through a hard time and you need some of that strengthening of that soul, don't let anybody take your problem and say, it's not that big of a deal. You'll get over it. Toughen up, buttercup type of idea, right? That type of idea. No, it's good to process with people. It's good to sit there and talk with people. And it's important that we're those type of people to other people, to hear each other's pain out, even if based on our experience in life, the pain feels superficial in a way, to be a strengthener, right? That's what we need to be to other people. As we close tonight, I want us to think about what Paul was doing on his journey here. And as a reminder, two challenges just for you to chew on and take with you tonight as you go back home. Man, Paul was passionate. He's passionate about what he knew, right? I've said it before when I've taught, man, Paul was an expert. God chose the right man. He knew what he was talking about. He knew what he was talking about. And he did the worst of the worst of the worst. And he had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord. He knew what it meant to proclaim the knowledge of the glory of God. He knew the simplicity of the message. It all clicked.
and he knew the power for life of how it could change lives, of what God wanted for him, and he was all in, and he did not stop speaking and proclaiming the truth, even after he was stoned. He kept going no matter what. But then he took his experience, and he was so passionate about what he knew. He wasn't just passionate about teaching the word. He understood the other component. It's the word of God living in the people of God. We need to be that. We need to be people that are so passionate about the word of God that we study it all the time. We look for sound doctrine. We know how to rightly divide the word of truth. That's what we need to be. People that proclaim, teach, understand the word of God. And I know a lot of young men that are really good at that and really bad at being soul strengtheners and not really good at taking care of the people in which that word is supposed to dwell. Me and you are supposed to be both. And we can't sacrifice either. Jesus said we worship in spirit and in truth. We have to know the truth, but we have to understand that it is the Spirit of God that indwells every single believer. And every single one of us is capable of really shining the power of the glory of the Most High God to every single individual that we come across. And if you're having a hard time doing that because you have a few cracks, kind of have that broken soul on the inside, it's important that you start working on that. Start finding that spiritual authority over your life. Start opening up to somebody and start saying, I need some help because my purpose is to shine the light of God and I'm having a really hard time because I'm dealing with some stuff. Great, let's talk about it. Let's get you to a better position. There's always light at the end of the tunnel, right? You go through hard times, it's going to crack some branches on you, right? It's going to toughen you up. But just as the scriptures say over and over and over again, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He'll be like a tree that's planted by the stream. Does not fear when the drought comes, when the rainy seasons come. It will be planted next to that stream. It will never fail to bear fruit. Right? Let's be like that. Let's be people who proclaim the good news of God, but also strengthen the souls of our fellow brothers and sisters and do some self-reflection, some internal pause, and think about, do I need some strengthening right now? Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. God, you're the one that strengthens all of our souls. You're the very essence of life. You're the one that brings health and life to each and every single one of us. Father, whatever it is that we go through in life, we know that through the power of your Spirit, you can bring healing. Some of us have faced external persecutions in different ways, Father. Life has been rough, and it's been really hard to keep going. I pray for anybody that's gone through some really hard times recently, Lord, that you strengthen their soul tonight, that you become their anchor, their foundation internally. Help them not ignore the areas that need attention, Lord. And for those that have it going pretty good, life's good right now, knowing that there's that internal struggle, and there's those hidden areas that we don't like to share with other people. They know the problem. They know what it is. They know that it's a part of their life, and they know that it doesn't reflect you, and it's going to cripple them, Father. Help them understand those areas. Help them expose those areas that they need to expose to trusted authority figures, Father. And maybe just through the power of your word and your Spirit filling our soul, Lord, may we be a people that shines your light and cares for all those around us. In your name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that lies.